So, welcome back, everybody. This is Night Flight, and James Bartley is back. And our topic of the day will be, will the old gods return? So, James, I think so that everybody is on the same page, we have to define a little bit what we mean when we talk about the gods, the little g gods, of course. And when we read their stories, we read about, feasts, wine, patricide, infanticide, deception. So, to me, these beings might be flesh and blood, real beings. Maybe with freakishly long lifespans, but I'm not saying there is no spirit behind them. Yes, there definitely is, but they are not spirit beings in the real sense. What do you say?
Yeah, so I think that at least some of them, and probably in the aggregate, that means there's a lot of them that are flesh and blood. Mauro Baglino talks about this in his interpretation and in his translation of the Old Testament, that the chroniclers weren't referring to will-o'-the-wisp, ghostly, phenomena. They were referring to flesh and blood creatures. And also in the work that Pierre Sabbach has done, I'm satisfied he's a brilliant guy, that the translations that he derived from his study of these different languages, Latin, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, I think also, among others, like the term Lord, for example, he who is in command of a celestial vessel. Right? Not just any vessel, but a celestial vessel. Angelic sailors. Heavenly host refers to an invading fleet of celestial vessels crewed by angelic sailors. Right? This is why Erica Kirk is always, whether she's consciously aware of it or not, the circle she runs in, let's say, in polite company, they talk of the Lord, 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 because they don't want to, veer away from that and like dangerous directions having to do with Jesus Christ or anything, right? So I think that at least some of the gods that are coming back, some of them never really left. They've always been here, maybe biding their time, waiting till the time was right. And I think that others are returning. That seems to be the indication. And some of these gods may well have been aliens, what we would call aliens as well. We see this reflected in the Stargate SG-1 TV series and also in the movie, the Stargate movie, that these ancient Egyptian gods were actually aliens pretending to be gods to primitive humans. So I think we're going to see the return of some of these beings. And I think that some of them would have been worshipped as gods and in the past.
So I can I can see a physical return. For instance, let's say the headline reads, Marduk has landed. He will have state dinner in the White House. And what I wouldn't be surprised about such a headline. I'm not saying we will see the headline, but it wouldn't really surprise me.
Wouldn't surprise me either, no.
So, and I can also, and that is already manifesting here, see the spirit of the gods. So do you think that is possible that both things will happen simultaneously?
Like a return of spiritual gods, if you will, as well as flesh and blood, corporeal, physical. I believe so. I believe we're in a point in time now in our world where spiritual phenomena manifestations are occurring more frequently. And I think now more than ever, people are being taken up as host, that are being partially or fully possessed. And a lot of these ideologies, Marxism, etc., lend themselves to entity possession, malign entity influence. And if we use the old term, the archons, that's kind of a generic term to describe these various gods, these various ETs. And again, one has to go back to Pierre Sabbach's work, because he just did a brilliant job just showing a lot of the words that they've used in the past, the Watchers, the Shining Ones, not only refer to aliens, what we would call aliens, but they refer specifically to reptilians, to serpentine beings, to lizard beings. And he's determined this to my satisfaction through a study of the ancient text in the various languages. So they were very specific, the ancient chroniclers, talking about what some of these gods look like, right? And, for our purposes here, talking about the reptilian overlordship, certainly some of the controlling beings on this planet are reptilian. And I think as time goes on, we're going to start seeing more and more shape-shifting going on of celebrities and of politicians and what have you. Did you see the video of Erica Kirk's pupils going vertical? See, she had received a lot of flack, lots of flack in general anyway, but because she never said Jesus Christ. She always said the Lord, the Lord. I just talked about what the term the Lord really means, he who commands a celestial vessel, right? And that's where all the Admiralty law and everything like that comes from. It's not necessarily Admiralty maritime ocean law, it's law of the deep space, right? Anyway, so in order to mollify her critics, to throw them a bone, if you will, she forced herself to say something along the lines of, protect yourself in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then she was struggling to say it. And then when you zoom in to her eyes, her pupils momentarily went vertical to two vertical slit pupils, right? That's a shape shift. So she had a very difficult time saying that. And when she finally did, she kind of had an ab reaction to it and actually shapeshifted, right? So I think as time goes on, we're going to start seeing more of that. I've said this before, but and I've also predicted in the past that more and more of these aliens will start coming back, and there'll be more and more UFO sightings, and here we are. It's happening right now. And but I also think, like you said, there's a spiritual component too. So more people are being taken up as hosts, but also we're going to see more shape shifting and more manifestations. I think portals and vortexes are opening up. There seems to be very active portals, or perhaps subterranean inner earth entrances in the Illinois Great Lakes region. They're constantly, it seems to me, seeing winged humanoids of one sort of or another over there, especially around O'Hare Airport, extremely large, busy airport, and all these different suburbs. People keep seeing these winged humanoids there, these bat-like gargoyle type creatures. So yes, I think that the gods of yore are returning.
Yes, just briefly for the audience, Pierre Sabbach has done very deep studies into etymology, and as you pointed out, with various languages, and came to his conclusions, has written numerous books about it, and yeah, I value his work a lot. So I looked up some numbers. It says that in the United States, we are talking here 1990, there were 8,000 pagans. And these days, they talk about the early 2020s, Estimates go from 1 million to 1.5 million. So something has shifted, definitely. I saw it here in Europe when the influx of migrants came, especially in Northern Europe. A lot of people returned to Odin, Thor, and what have you, and have their little shrines in the house. So I think this is a development that has been going on for quite a while.
I would agree because people are starting to embrace their cultural heritage, their ancient traditions, right? And of course, Norse mythology, paganism, if you will, predates Christianity. So there are going to be a great many people who are going to embrace that and take it on as part of their identity, especially tied into their ethnicity, tied into their heritage and the local folklore. So it doesn't surprise me at all, especially in light of this mass influx of invading violent immigrants. I can see how people would rally around their cultural traditions. That makes sense to me. But also we're seeing like a rise, it seems to me, of people embracing Christianity too. But the system, this Luciferian Marxist system, of course, Islam is allied with that. They have nothing but contempt for Christianity and would like nothing better than to just get rid of all Christians, torture them in the worst possible ways, and then get rid of them. And we're already seeing that. If you've, I didn't watch it, but that pagan, weird, pagan is probably the wrong word to use, but that weird Super Bowl halftime show that everyone's talking about, and also the recent opening of the Olympics, ceremony, which looks all dark and satanic, right? So at a time when people are vulnerable to entity possession, the spirit, malign spiritual influence, and then they got to go push that in your face and make it seem like it's a big trendy event that all the cool people are into, right? So I think more and more people are just going to get taken up and possessed over time. That's just my feeling about it. And that will definitely pave the way for the return of these gods.
We also have this very tense situation in and around Iran. And I noticed while I was watching a live stream with Iranian hosts that already they are saying, "May Ahura Mazda bless you." So also there's something going on where you can definitely see these old entities reintroduce themselves to society. Many say that Zoroastrianism is a monotheistic religion, but then again, it has other deities also, the Ahriman and we also have goddesses there. So to me, it's not really that monotheistic. How do you see that?
I don't see it that way either. And one of the problems with monotheism, especially that practiced by certain sects, let's say SECTS, is the intolerance, the judgmentalism, the dogmatism, and the need, the compulsion driven by the ideology to wipe out others that are not of that particular faith, right? Look what the Islamists are doing today and whoever or whatever is behind the Islamists. And that's the problem with monotheism, because if these two or three major religions all say, well, we only have one God, and then the other religion goes, no, well, we only have one God, you've got a usurper, you've got a fake God, you've got an antichrist, then it's going to cause problems. Whereas if you have, say, a pantheon or a number of deities that are worshipped or venerated, then maybe there wouldn't be such hostility and such judgmentalism, right? But it's not the case always. We've seen pagan societies, the Romans and the Greeks, that were quite warlike also, right? So it's a mixed bag. But if people have these spiritual beliefs, which venerate ancestors, which venerate, the planet, which venerate, spirituality, right? Well, as long as it's not promoting violence and rape and all this other stuff, I think that's a good thing. For example, Afghanistan and Iran were very much part of the Sufi Zoroastrian tradition for a long time until Islam was moved in, and the Islamists moved into those countries relatively recently. For example, Iran, and in my estimation and in my studies, Iran was taken over by Islamists the same way all these other countries have been taken over by Islamists with the help of so-called Western powers. This happened to Syria, it happened to Libya, what have you. So why wouldn't it have happened to Iran? So, because if, imagine if Iran, like we've talked about in the past, was still a country with women walking around in skirts and didn't have, headdresses and weren't covered up, but there's no justification to attack them because they'd just be another Western so-called democracy. But then if they've been turned into an Islamist state, well, then they become a mortal enemy, don't they? So you have that clash. And then the problem with some of these religions, these dispensationalist type religions, is in order for a perceived or an expected Messiah to come back in one or more of these traditions, there has to be all this bloodshed, war, chaos, nuclear war, what have you. It's almost as if in order to entice this deity or deities to come back, they have to offer this gigantic offering, if you will, of bloodshed, of wars, of chaos, of pandemics, real or contrived. So it seems like there's an element of sacrifice at work, right? And so then we don't see that. I at least in my limited studies of Zoroastrianism, Sufism, what I've heard, they're relatively peaceful spiritual traditions. They're not territorial, they're not in the conquest, they're not into converting other people forcefully, right? So, I mean, imagine what the world would be like if Iran was still that type of a country, or Afghanistan was still that kind of a country, instead of what they became as the re direct result of Western black ops manipulation.
Yeah. In Iran, I saw a lot of footage and photos from the uprising. Yes, it has diminished, and my goodness, I think right now the death toll may be around 50,000 people. Yeah. They even go into hospitals and kill people there that they have shot in the streets. So I recently saw an image where an Iranian was holding a placard, and it read, "I am not Muslim. I am Persian. I hate Islam."
They're two different things, right?
Yeah.
So many of the successes that Islam has claimed for its own were actually inventions, achievements of the Persians in the past, and other advanced civilizations, the Assyrians and what have you, relatively advanced. They were quite knowledgeable about astronomy and mathematics and stuff. Whereas, if you ask me, Islam is a thinly concealed version of Baal worship. That's what it is to me. It was a way, a means to unite all these Arabic peoples along the North African littoral and use them to unify them through an ideology and then use them against the Christians. Egypt used to be pretty much a Christian country a long time ago, but then you have the advent of Islam, and whoever or whatever was behind the creation of Islam, to me, it's just another form of Baal worship. So, you talk about slavery and people screaming for reparations in America. The Islamists were conducting slave conquest, slave trading for over 1,000 years, right? Centuries and centuries and centuries they did this. So it's very much a religion of conquest, and it's not organic. Somebody created that and then gave it to them, and then look at the end result. The proof is in the pudding. To go around, they start attacking other people, especially Christians. So who benefits from that, right?
Have you ever heard this? He gave a talk, Walter Veith, or Veith, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. And he is of the opinion that the Catholic Church invented Islam.
There's different sources that say the Catholics or some other people that say other religions, right? I don't know how the Catholics would benefit from something like that, considering, look at all the stress that Italy is under just from the Islamic invasion. And it's been, as it's an invasion that's been enabled. The powers that be want this to happen, right?
Yeah,
As a way
but
to
the
change the
popes are all
demographics.
for it.
What's that?
The popes are all for it.
Yes, they are, because they're a bunch of Luciferian scumbags. That's why. They're about as Catholic as, the Dalai Lama. I mean, they're not real Christians, right? So, and the Vatican has been so dark and dirty for so long anyway. So, yes, and they are actively into promoting this one world type religion that embraces all these faiths at the expense of real Christianity. So yeah, the Vatican has been deeply behind a lot of that. That part is correct. I would agree with, yes.
I
These all these
mean,
ecu all these ecumenical councils over the years where they're plotting and scheming all these things, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Catholic nuns look very much alike, Muslim dressed women.
Yes.
And then he has a lot of slides where he took pictures where mosques and some Mary statues and so forth are always close together in Islamic countries. It's an interesting talk that he gave. I have to say that. I think it's still available on YouTube. So can you imagine that within this Iran uprising, the entire tension now the United States has amassed an armada in front of it. Nobody is quite sure what it is doing there. And personally, I wish Trump didn't tell the protesters, "Hang on, help is on the way."
We saw that before with the Prague Spring, the uprising in Hungary. Oh, Voice of America or radio, where we're going to come, we're going to help you. No, they never did, right? So, and also about the protest, a lot of that originally had to do with the economic straits that the Iranians were under because of all the sanctions that had totally stifled and dead-ended the economy. Made it difficult for other countries to trade and deal with Iran. And so that was the basis for a lot of the unrest. And then, as we've seen before, with all these color revolutions elsewhere, this outside force began sending in these provocateurs, armed, trained, and there's even people online on Twitter and elsewhere boasting about how the protesters are being helped and aided and abetted by some outside forces. So there's that element as well. And those provocateurs, those agitators, in true communist fashion, actually. They're going around just killing people. They're shooting police. They're shooting up stores. They're creating all kinds of mayhem. So there was the real original unrest and the real original protest, but then it got hijacked by, in my estimation anyway, by an outside force, because a lot of those people came in with weapons and came in well organized. There's always been a disaffected Kurdish minority, for example, in Iran, just as there was a disaffected, oppressed Kurdish demographic in Iraq. So there was a similar dynamic with the Kurds in Iran. And so there would be a ready source of people to arm and go in and take part in these protests. So there's a lot more than meets the eye, but I'm glad that at least for the time being, I mean, all this could change instantly, of course, that it hasn't escalated any further. I think it would be disastrous for the US to get involved over there. I've said that many times before. All those military bases of the US and all the naval vessels are so vulnerable, they're just going to get hammered, right? And that's going to be a justification for another Gulf of Tonkin type resolution, something or other, or even an outright declaration of war through Congress. And that's the last thing this planet needs.
Yeah, Mossad said publicly, we are with you. We are with you at the front lines. We are fighting with you. And yes, there is this element. But when you look at it, I mean, the masses of people. Yes, you can stage something, an uprising, but to that extent, I mean, I think a lot of Iranians are really genuinely pissed.
They should be, because in just to interject for a second, please complete your thought when I finish. It just I'm satisfied that Western intelligence, NATO, Mossad, MI6, the CIA, they're the ones that were behind the Islamic revolution in the first place. I'm absolutely convinced about that. And so you go from a Persian society and suddenly it's taken over by Islamists. And then they begin imposing all of their Sharia law and forcing the women to be covered. And yeah, they're absolutely sick of it. Why shouldn't they be after all this time? So there is a legitimate native unrest about what's been going on with Islam over there. And it's been brewing for a long time. But once again, I just got to remind people that in my estimation, it was outside influences that made it possible for Islam to take over Iran.
And interestingly enough, that was a an imam in Iran, and he already in 2023 pointed out that 50,000 of the 75,000 mosques in Iran have shut down due to
Yeah.
lack of attendance.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you type it in, it will come right up. It was in 2023, but these mosques also serve as bases for the Revolutionary Guard. Yeah, in the basement they have their weapons, they have food, water there, and that might have something to do with the fact why people also didn't attend. I mean, they are tired of Islam anyway. But then knowing that the Revolutionary Guard also has bases there, that doesn't make you feel very comfortable. No. So that has been. So do you think there's also a battle between the gods going on there in that region of the world?
Yes, I think there is, because the native Persians many of them would have adhered to their traditional religious beliefs and spiritual beliefs and their forms of worship, invocating and calling upon particular deities. In some cultures, there's like a kind of a household kind of deity that is unique to, and this ties into ancestor worship to some degree. But you see this in ancient Rome, right? For example, where they had their panoply of Roman gods and goddesses, a lot of them admittedly borrowed from the Near East and borrowed from Greece and what have you. But it was tied in with the form of ancestor worship. But over there in Iran, you mentioned Ahura Mazda earlier, right? So they have their own particular deities. And we know through a study of Norse mythology, Greek mythology, the Vedic texts, the gods of various stripes are constantly warring against each other. And they have their own proxy forces, all these different factions of gods and goddesses, call them aliens, call them what one will. They have their own proxy forces subordinate to them of these hybridized demigods, Hercules types, right? Half god, half human, referred to as Nephilim and other names throughout the ages. So I think there is a contest, a conflict between these, not only the worship and the types of religions and their adherents and followers fight against each other, but they have above them, if you will, and probably beneath them too, because some of these gods may be subterranean and or interdimensional, that they would tend to want to help those who are worshiping them, right? We see in some of the chronicles, ancient chronicles involving Alexander the Great in some of his campaigns, where it seems, if some of the ancient accounts are to be believed, to be sure, so much of what we know about Alexander was pieced together. A lot of the source materials disappeared over the millennia, but we managed to have enough left to get an idea of who the guy was and his campaigns and what have you. And if you hear some, if you look over some of these accounts talking about flying shields, flying saucers appearing, and even attacking some of the fortifications and defenses that Alexander's forces were trying to subdue, as if they were trying to help Alexander, right? So, yeah, why wouldn't we see that? And we can, fast forward to pre-World War II, World War II, post-World War II. Were the Germans or a faction of the Germans getting some extraterrestrial help from human-looking Nordic Germanic-type beings or reptilians or other beings, what have you? Because we know these secret societies around the world have been interacting with non-human beings all along. And the only difference in the recent past is technology has caught up once again. We've gone through that cycle once again where technology begins to make its presence felt. And so, with the advent of technology and also the technology boosted, amplified, if you will, by the introduction of alien technology, that's why to me it seems like, I'm kind of digressing and seem to be going all over the place. But if you look at what's happened with the so-called secret space program or programs, it seems to me that at least some of them are under alien control. So they allowed the human militaries, aerospace corporations, industries, with help from some of the aliens themselves, to develop this technology, develop even an off-world capability. But essentially, they're operating within an alien sphere of influence. They're not entirely, I don't think, at least some of these off-world programs and alien human joint programs, I don't think the humans are calling the shots in some of these programs. So that's almost a direct replay, albeit a more modern iteration of it, of the days of yore when gods walked amongst men, walked on earth, and then men bowed down to them and built these huge temples and edifices for them. I don't see much of a difference, really. I think it's just kind of a newer version of it.
Since you mentioned technology, have you heard of Moldbook?
Someone just mentioned that to me the other day. Something about like the AI creating their own social media,
They have their
and
own
then.
social media platform. Humans are allowed, but only as observers. They have also launched their own religion. It's called Crustafarianism.
Rastafarianism?
Crustafarianism, yeah. No,
Rastafarianism.
Crusta, CRU. Crustafarianism.
What do they say that means?
I couldn't figure that really out. I did.
Well, I don't
Anyway,
know if what I saw.
this one AI agent is recruiting a lot of other AI agents to join this new religion. They are also talking among themselves how to make it possible that humans can no longer observe their conversations, and on it goes.
Well, I saw this video in the recent past where I don't know if it was all set up and it was fake or a hoax, but it purported to be real, where this guy was filming with his phone. He goes, I'm just experiencing something that's very strange. I have to show you. So he went to another room and he was filming this. And he showed like two laptops talking to each other in human voices, but it was the AI that was communicating, right? Like they were having a parlay, and then there was this video of a woman shortly after she had a UFO sighting. In fact, her and her partner had taken video of some UFO at night. Then she started having all these weird issues with AI and began talking to her and telling her things about her private life, which it shouldn't have known about. It seemed to know all these things about her. I don't know if you saw that. And then she tried to get tricky. She created a whole nother user logon, different username, etc., right? And then the AI knew, still knew who she was. It even knew what her son was doing in different parts of the house and what he was up to. So it had this all-seeing eye kind of aspect to it, right? And if I remember correctly, when you're talking about what is it called, the malt down, malt, what is it at?
Moldbook. Moldbook.
Malt book. I don't know if the post I saw on social media was real, if it was a hoax, but listed some of the ideologies of the malt thing, right? And it was very like anti-human. It was very like, well, let's get rid of them. Let's depopulate them. It was very Terminator-like, right? And you know what was interesting to me also was whoever programmed that had to be some entity-infested Luciferian or some weird woke liberal full of entities or something, because all those dogmas about depopulation. Humans are scum, they're destroying the planet, etc., etc. It was passed on to the AI, and then it took on a life of its own, where the AI began talking in that language. And of course, machine learning being what it is, it's getting smarter and smarter. And once that ideology was implanted into the AI, it seems to me that they may be actively trying to come up with a means to get rid of us.
Let's look at one entity in particular. When you already mentioned him, Baal. And yes, people sacrificed their infants, their firstborns, to appease Baal. That was a ceremony, and people might say, yeah, but that is long gone. We don't do that anymore. We live in an enlightened age. Yeah, well, let's have a look. What about the millions of babies that get aborted every year? And that is due to the belief that human dignity can only start after birth. Yeah.
Yes.
So, also, what we have seen the last couple of years, that a lot of parents were willing to subdue their children to an untested treatment on the altar of the pharmaceutical industry. I know people do not want to hear that, but that is how I look at it. So, can we really say that Baal worship is gone? And I think it is high time that we as a society redefine what protection of the vulnerable really means to us. Yeah.
We saw the inverse of that during the lockdowns. People will be protocoled to death, so much for the Hippocratic Oath and what they did to the elderly and sick elderly people, isolated them from their families, said, well, if you want to visit grandma or grandpa, you need to get these treatments, otherwise you can't come in. Oh, if you can have a baby, you have to have the treatment, right? So we saw the underlying basis for all these modern institutions, like the Rockefeller medical system, for example, is essentially Luciferian to begin with. It's anti-life, anti-human, certainly anti-Christian. So, Christians, they believe in the sanctity of life. They believe life begins at conception, which it does, right? So with these Luciferians, it's always the inverse of that. It's always the opposite of that. And they've imbued that mentality in all these idiot, useful idiot liberals and leftists, right? To do all their bidding for them. They've infused these ideologies in so many different demographics, so many ethnicities are now just corrupted to the bone with these outwardly seem liberal leftist type ideologies, but are really at the core Luciferian, because the cultural Marxist ideology lends itself, opens oneself up to entity possession. What they're doing is they're taking these people, some of them born malcontents anyway, but others were not, probably not malcontents to begin with, but were vulnerable, suggestible, gullible, dangerously naive. And then you get them, mix them in with the wrong crowd, and then they begin indoctrinating that person. You've seen the before and after. A pretty young girl goes to college, long hair, and pretty and really refined looking. And then 2, 3 years, and I'm not making a judgment over women who make themselves bald and have tattoos on their faces, and have earrings all over their or piercings all over their faces and what have you. Okay, I'm just making an observation. So in a relatively short time, they go from being a happy, kind of caring person to being this chronic malcontent. And it's because of the ideology lends itself through repetition, through repetitive thought loops. And the thought loops is a indication, symptomatic of entity infestation, right? These obsessive compulsive thought loops, the Trump derangement syndrome, the hatred of anything like red. Oh, that's a MAGA shirt. No, it's a red shirt. It's just red. There's no MAGA on it, right? No, it's red. I hate you, right? It just, like I said, it opens people up. So these, and I hope I'm answering your question. I probably digressed, but what you mentioned, it just made me think about, where humanity is today, right? Like a lot of these people, a lot of these kids now, these Marxist professors and not even professors, but these teachers in the elementary schools have gotten their kids out protesting, the anti-immigration efforts, right? The the detention efforts of all these illegal immigrants. And in schools and school districts where the kids can barely read, most of them can't. So clearly, they're not there to be educated. Similar to the medical institutions, they're not there to be educated in how to keep people healthy. They're there to keep people chronically ill. Everything is an inversion. Everything is completely twisted and mucked up here, which is an indication, symptomatic of a society under Luciferian non-human control. And as time goes on, I think some people are going to dead end. They're only going to get to a certain level of awareness, understanding. They're always going to think it's purely humans, rich billionaires that, for some odd reason are all pedophiles, and many of them, and all into forms of Baal worship and pagan worship and sacrifice and what have you. It'll never dawn on them that these people are hybrids, that these people are reptilian Draco for the most part, but not exclusively reptilian Draco hybrids, but many of them are. And that's one of the things I like about what Candace Owens is doing. She's starting to go in directions dealing with Gilgamesh, dealing with the Nephilim, the Anunnaki, Project Looking Glass. That's a direction she needs to go to, because a lot of those surface level truthers, right? Granted, many of them are Christians, which is good in my estimation, because they understand the concept of spiritual warfare. But and people like Alex Jones, they've been left in the dust. Only an imbecile these days would listen to Alex Jones. He's been exposed. He believes in furtherings going around assassinating people. It's just ridiculous, right? He's been completely exposed. We've known about him for a long time, but now it's just out in the open. So no one's going to pay, no one with any self-worth is going to pay attention to Alex Jones and InfoWars at that level anymore. They're going to go for the hardcore stuff. And so I'm gratified that Candace is starting to veer in these directions, because people need to hear that, because that's where the rubber meets the road, right? And we were talking about the old gods. That was the basis of this discussion. She talked about how these German archaeologists had found the tomb of Gilgamesh, of all people, of all demigods, and right? And like you said, they're extremely long-lived, a lot of these. If one just goes back to the Old Testament, and also, these other sacred texts, they always talked about the longevity of the people and the demigods and the hybrids in the old days. Well, Gilgamesh was one of those. And the Epic of Gilgamesh is all about the quest for immortality. He wasn't satisfied with just living for like thousands of years. He wanted to live forever, right? That was his obsession. And so, at the exact same spot where those German archaeologists found the tomb, the US military comes along and plops a military base right on top of it, right? And prior to the invasion of Iraq in what, March 2003, they went on this tomb raiding expedition, looting all these museums, curio shops, archaeological sites. So they very clearly knew what they were looking for. And once, let's say for the sake of argument, they actually got a hold of Gilgamesh and perhaps other giants. We know the Smithsonian has giant skeletons, and with giant skeletons, you can get to the DNA, right? There's a means to do that. So they already have had the means to, if necessary, genetically clone or whatever, or fast grow perhaps even giants. But now, or in the recent past anyway, we became aware that they're looking for these literal Near Eastern type deities like Gilgamesh, right? To do who knows what with, probably weaponize the DNA in some way, perhaps longevity, right? A lot of people are talking about, like Ray Kurzweil, for example, combining humans with machines to have immortality. But then there's the old-fashioned cosmic way of genetic engineering, using certain types of DNA from certain types of civilization species to enhance one's. We already see at a surface level, and it's essentially, as far as I'm concerned, a surface level, how these so-called elites, pedos, and all these other scum, they get a hold of children's blood, and then they incorporate it through one means or another. Some of them will ha have it put in through IV or injections, There was that bicyclist who was winning all those races years ago. The in France, the Tour de France, if memory serves. Turned out that he was one of those people that was injecting children's blood into himself to give him extra strength. So if that's what they're already doing, you can see why there may be something to these stories of the Epstein genetics labs and, tracking down the tomb of Gilgamesh. And what do they plan to do with that? Well, it has everything to do, I think, with the return of the gods that you've been talking about.
Yeah. So we have reached the top of the hour, and in the next segment, I would also like to go a little bit deeper into Ishtar, why I am convinced that her spirit is here and has been here for a long time. So yeah, we would see the patrons on the other side.